You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Firm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. And we are going to play a PSA for you coming up now, as part of our requirements here at the station. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Firm Radio.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
There's a price tag on almost everything. Whether you drive a shiny new 1952 model or a pre-war jalopy, you had to pay the price. And when you're driving that car, remember that speed also has its price. The price tag on speed violations last year was 15,000 killed and 500,000 injured. This year, thousands of lives can be saved if you and millions of other motorists come to the sober realization that speed is the biggest killer on the highways and resolve to slow down before you or someone else pays the price that must be paid for it. You can do your part by keeping within speed limits. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it. It does.
See the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two. Thank you. I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I want to be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Happy Valentine's Day to all of you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Hour number two of the Shook Right Show, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts, Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Here with you for another 40 minutes or so on this Valentine's Day night, and man, I tell you what, love is in the air. Is it? If you are a Detroiter, is love really in the air today? Because I was listening to 97.1 The Ticket, sports radio station out in Detroit, affiliate of CBS Sports Radio, and it really dawned on me, like, people are happy that the Rams won the Super Bowl. People are happy for guys like Aaron Donald, who finally got a Super Bowl ring. Von Miller, who got a second Super Bowl ring. But also, for Matthew Stafford as well. He spends 13 years in Detroit and does not win a single playoff game. He goes to the Los Angeles Rams, his first year as a starting quarterback of the Rams. What does he do? What does he do? He goes out there and wins the whole damn thing. WMFO. 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 We are going to go to Rich in Boston. You're on the Sugar Ride Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. What's going on, Rich? Rich. Rich, what's going on, man? Hey, what's going on, Rich? Rich. I guess we lost him. I don't know. Something's going on with the phone tonight. Strange. But try calling back again, Rich. We're going to put you back on the show. But in continuation, Matthew Stafford leaves the Lions and it requests a trade. And he gets traded to the Rams. And as we all know, Jared Goff gets traded from the Rams to the Lions in return. And I'll be the first to tell you, man, listen, it is amazing to think that a guy who spends the first 13 years in one city, he has some level, and I do mean some level of success in Detroit. Now he goes to Los Angeles, and what does he do? He wins. So Lion fans, how are you feeling today? That your former franchise quarterback, who asked to be traded last offseason, wins a Super Bowl elsewhere. But also on top of that, let me make a very brutally honest point here. This is the ongoing tragedy of the Detroit Lions that's been ongoing for the last 50-plus years. Your franchise player either retires or asks to be traded, and he succeeds elsewhere. Isn't that kind of like the comedic punchline for the Detroit Lions now? Barry Sanders, arguably the best running back in NFL history, he retires early because he realized that the Detroit Lions weren't going to go anywhere. Calvin Johnson, who just got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame a year ago, he retires early because he realizes that the Detroit Lions weren't going to go anywhere and be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Matthew Stafford, who played along with Calvin Johnson, after 13 seasons, finally asks to get out of Dodge. And where does he get shipped off to? He gets shipped off to Los Angeles to a talented roster and a much talented organization and head coach. And what does he do? Oh, no big deal. He beats the Cardinals in the wild card round. He beats the Buccaneers despite blowing a 27-3 lead in the divisional round. He wins the NFC title game at home, beating the 49ers after being down 17-7 going into the fourth quarter. And in the Super Bowl, trailing late in the game, what does he do? He puts together that final drive to win the Super Bowl for the Los Angeles Rams. That has to be the ultimate punch to the stomach of the Detroit Lions and to the city of Detroit. Because I'll tell you what, Matthew Stafford was the best quarterback that the Lions have had probably ever. Yes, I am aware that he has a sub-500 record in Detroit, 74-90-1. I get that. It is a losing record. But how much of that is that really on Matthew Stafford? You see, what people fail to realize and to understand, and that is, it doesn't matter how talented of a quarterback that you are. What matters is, where are you placed and where do you play ultimately dictates your outcome of your success. Because let's be honest, let's ask ourselves a very honest question. Does Tom Brady have the same success elsewhere that he had in New England if he's playing for, let's say, the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2000 or 2001? No. Does Joe Montana have the same success with the Arizona Cardinals that he had with the San Francisco 49ers in the 1980s? No. It matters where you play and the organization that you play for. It matters. So when Matthew Stafford finally got to hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy last night, one of the first thoughts that came to mind is, damn, Lion fans have got to be sick. They have got to be sick. Because the Lions have been dreaming about this night for years. They believed for a long time that Matthew Stafford was going to be their savior, their guy, the guy that finally gets them to the promised land, except that it didn't happen. Why? There isn't just one particular reason why, but when you have had a fairly substantial amount of head coaches over the years, over the 13 years in Detroit, yeah, it's going to be awfully hard to find any sort of sustainable success. And that's exactly what happened. So the way I look at it is, America is celebrating the Rams winning the Super Bowl, but Detroit is feeling sick to its stomach. I really do think so. And there are Lion fans that will say that, well, I do feel happy for the guy. Well, congratulations. You are actually among the few. But as a Lions fan, even if you feel happy for Matthew Stafford, you have got to be feeling angry. Not with Matthew Stafford. Not because he asked for a trade. In fact, you as a Lions fan should have a better understanding, better than anyone else, that the dysfunction that lies within your organization. But the harsh reality is that the Lions did what the Lions did best, self-sabotage their own great players by giving them and surrounding them crap talent, crap coaches, and a crappy system that does not produce results. I mean, for Pete's sake, you damn near went witness this past season. Seriously, what does that tell you? That in itself should tell you an awful lot. And this is no slap in the face to Dan Campbell, who just got there. But can we be honest with ourselves for just a moment and acknowledge that there is something very rotten with the city of Detroit football team? Not the city of Detroit, but with the football team. There is something very rotten with the organization, with the Lions organization. And I'm amazed that the Lions fans who continue to remain loyal to that franchise and that organization, I don't know how the hell you do it. Because frankly, I would have left that ship a long time ago. I don't get it. I sincerely do not understand that. Now, with that being said, it's Valentine's Day. And if you are feeling a certain type of way, you should feel your feels. But if you're Detroit, if you're a Lions fan, you are feeling crushed. You should be feeling crushed that your franchise quarterback, in his first year, he finally leaves that downtrodden franchise and wins elsewhere. Yikes. That is just a bad look on your organization, who continues to get it wrong year in and year out. Good luck winning a championship with Jared Goff in Detroit, because you're going to need a lot of luck, because even the great ones knew they had to get out of Dodge. This is an organization that lost Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, and Matthew Stafford, all in their prime of their careers. And they can't produce a single championship for those guys. What a shame. What a damn shame. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I say to myself, how, like sincerely, how on earth is this possible? After how long that they continue to not get it right? It's truly amazing the more I think about it. It really is. Coming up next, let's take a look back on the last 5 years in Boston, because on Valentine's Day night, it's time to reminisce and it's time to create new memories. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. If you are heading out tonight, be safe out there. It is still icy out there. There are still some considerable ice patches out in the streets. If you're walking out in the city somewhere in Boston or even greater Boston, for that fact of the matter, be safe out there. And coming up next, Michael Jackson, Pretty Young Thing. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, touch-free from radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. It is now 6:38 p.m. Eastern Time on Valentine's Day night. Man, I'll tell you what. Who would have thought, seriously? I mean, goodness grief. Who would have thought that 5 years ago that that we would be in a global pandemic? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how you'd have that insight to look that far into the future, but it's definitely not possible whatsoever. But man, better days are upon us, and I really do believe it. I do believe it because tough times do not last forever. That is a fact of life. They don't last forever. And I'll be the first to tell you, when I began to look back on the 5 years that it's been, and for me, it is a big deal. I am going to celebrate me. And you should, because the reality is that people are not going to celebrate you more than how you celebrate you. You have to celebrate yourself. You have to be your biggest cheerleader. And I'm a firm believer in that. In which that moments like this or occasions like this or anniversaries like this, that is for you. And it's a testament to the sweat, the tears, the blood that you invested. Yes, even blood. That I invested into making that move here. You know, I remember being 25 years old. I'm only 30. I just turned 34 and a half months ago. And I remember being 25 years old, saying to myself, yeah, if I want to move out of mama's house, I want to move somewhere where I am happy. But I am truly happy. And Boston was it. I knew that it was it. I spent a significant amount of time like visiting Boston here and there, and as well as just getting to know the city, you know, like getting to go to sporting events, getting a vibe for what the city was like, and I just fell in love with it. And I think that was so important because there was a time where at the beginning of 2015, that was 7 years ago, which is hard to believe. At the beginning of 2015, I knew that there was something about Boston that I really wanted to explore and get to know, and that there was something about the city that really just kind of like gravitated towards me, and I was eager to find out. And I also look back on it now that it wasn't an overnight process, not even close. I remember coming here in January of 2015. Yes, that horrific winter of 2014-2015 that the city of Boston and across greater Boston does not want to remember. That winter, I was visiting. I remember how bad the snowstorms were back to back to back to back. And thinking to myself, man, it's colder here than it is in New York or even Philly. You sure you want to do this? Like, you sure that Boston is home for you? And it's like, well, it feels home. It feels like home. Like, every time that I'm here, like, I'm just at peace. Like, I'm truly at peace. And it's amazing to think that back in 2015, especially specifically May of 2015, that I would look back and realize that that was the beginning of something special. And I realized that weekend that I came to visit, it was towards the end of May of 2015, I realized that that is a city that just fits perfectly the passion, the energy, the electricity, and the expectations to win in this market. It's just unlike anywhere else. And I couldn't help but just feel gravitated towards Boston, and as well as getting to learn and getting to understand like what it has to offer. Now, this is all in May of 2015, and I still had a lot to learn. I had a lot to learn in terms of, you know, the geography, you know, getting around. But the first thing that really got to me was that it does have a transit system. Yeah, the T has its faults, but it is not as bad as the MTA in New York. Hard to believe, right? No, seriously. Even people in New York have a hard time grasping that actually, we kind of have a better overall system than the MTA. I mean, the MTA is literally just one dead mice away from all trains on the R line are running express on the N line because of a dead rat on the local track. Seriously, for those who are native New Yorkers and you're listening to this program, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, just nod your head, or better yet, just call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You know what I'm talking about. Like, but here, like, you don't really have that problem to, like, worry about, thankfully. And I will say this. When I look back on the journey that it took for me to move to Boston, I can't help but to think of the days that I used to dream about living here. I just can't, because there was a time where I literally dreamed of what life would be like living in Boston. And I tell you what, if I told you in August of 2015, that was the time that I finally realized to myself that this is where I wanted to call home, it was then. It was at the end of my visit in August of 2015. I remember crying, like, as I was leaving, because I was sad. Like, I didn't want to leave. I just remember, you know, just being happy, just being at peace here. And I remember, you know, having a conversation with someone who sadly does not have much of a place in my life anymore. And the question being asked me at the time was, you know, what, do you see yourself like moving to Boston? And that's when I realized, yeah, hell yeah. So from that point on, from August 2015 to January, February of 2017, like, all of my energy was like shifted and geared towards that. And I really wanted to make that move happen. I don't know why my crazy self thought it would happen by February or April of 2016, but my first early thoughts of it happening then were there. But then reality kind of like set in terms of like what would be realistic in terms of moving to Boston. I said, you know what? June 2016 is when I'm going to make the move. That is when I'm going to make the move, and I am going to just, you know, begin to like plan out what do I want to do in terms of my career, how do I get it into radio, like what I need to do and so forth. And life in itself did not work out that way. I was pissed. Like, I was so mad. Like, how on earth am I still here? Like, why am I not in Boston right now? Like, I was angry for a minute. And it took some time for me to really, you know, collect my thoughts and really just like figure out, okay, it didn't happen then, but does it mean that it won't happen? No. It just didn't happen when you wanted for it to happen, and it was tough. So, August of 2016, I had finished praying, and I'll never forget that moment when it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, hey, Shu, you know, go grab a notebook somewhere and write down what you want for yourself over the next 6 months. And literally one of those things that I wrote was move to Boston. Okay, when? Not if, when. So I want people to pay particular attention to this specifically. When you're writing down goals for yourself, don't write down if. Don't never ever write down if. Write down I am going to such and such and such. Like, if you want to lose weight, write down I am going to lose such and such and such weight. Or I am going to get this job such and such and such when. Not if, when. And if it doesn't happen, then you keep trying. And that was it for me. Keep trying. You keep pushing through. You keep, you know, doing everything that you want to do and invest all of your energy into that set goal. And that is imperative. That was the key for me. So from August of 2016, excuse me, I decided that I was going to invest all of my energy into making this move happen. And amazingly enough, it did not happen overnight. And that was the beauty of it. I still had to get up and go to work in New York. By that point, I had already left New York. I was done. So I would, you know, I would commute from Philadelphia to New York, Monday to Friday. I kid you not. I remember at the beginning, I used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get to work. And trust me, it was brutal. It was brutal. How I did it at that time, I don't know. But perks of when you're 24 years old at the time and you got all the energy in the world and you're just naive to certain realities of life at that time, you're just like, to hell with it. I'm just going to do it. So I did it. But then as the early months of the early fall of 2016 moved along, I decided that I was going to make sure that I get up at a certain reasonable time, that I'm not burning myself out by the time I get to 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Because trust me, that was not easy. So with that being said, I made sure that I got up around 4 a.m. about a month after. This was now October of 2016. I started to get up at 4 a.m., then follow that by picking up a weekend job. I worked weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, in Philadelphia, in which I worked as part of a valet company at a hospital, local hospital in Philadelphia. I remember, like, working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays, for 4 months. So I want all of you to now understand the following. I am now working Monday through Friday, getting up at 4 a.m., commuting to New York City, and coming back to Philly same day, Monday through Friday, and now working Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I have no social life. I remember those times and those days quite fondly, and I 100% would do it again. I would 100% do it again. The reason is because I knew I didn't have a social life then, but I had a bigger goal in mind. I had a bigger dream in mind. And I just wanted to put and invest everything that I got into that particular dream. And I realized that even now, and as I talk about this, I still have some work to do in terms of a new particular dream that I have for myself and a goal. And I have to be willing to invest that same kind of energy that I invested into moving here. The same principle, the same ideas, but now shifted into a different goal. All right, I got to hit a music break. So we're going to take a music break and coming up next, final thoughts here on this Valentine's Day night. I'm going to go to music now, and
I've heard people
say, I'm going to play a little Barry White for you folks out there, especially for those who are of a certain age. Barry White, can't get enough of your love, baby. Enjoy.
I don't know about that. There's been a time that we loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to, no matter how I try. It's like the more you give, the more I want. And baby, that's no lie. Oh no, baby. Tell me, what can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change. Something moving, I scream your name. Look what you got to do with, darling. I can't get enough of your love, baby. Girl, I don't know why I can't get enough of your love, baby. Oh no, babe. Girl, if I could only make you see, and
make you understand. Girl, your love for me is all I need, and more than I can stand. Oh, well, babe, how can I explain all the things I feel? You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal. Still, I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Cause you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feeling every time you're here. I feel a change, something moving. I scream your name. Look what you got to do, and darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Oh no, babe.
Baby, it didn't take all of my life to find you, but you can believe it's gonna take the rest of my life to keep you.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Time for your final thoughts on this Valentine's Day Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I wish I started my story earlier, but the way things went in terms of the show and things on my end, I started it a little late, but that's okay. But I will continue my story in terms of how I ended up here in Boston. So, on what is now the 5-year anniversary of me moving to Boston, there are so many life lessons that I had to learn and that I really want to share it with people so that they're able to learn and implement it into their lives in regards to whatever that they may set their minds to. And I'll do that on a different day, on a different show, one in which that I have a lot more time. I only have a couple of minutes left. So I just want to point out, now that the NFL season's over, which is really hard to believe, I'm still thinking, well, there's got to be another game on Sunday, right? No, this is it. No more football till August, preseason, but there's no more regular season games until September. So I know it's going to be a long 6 months. No football. And now baseball, in which spring training was in fact supposed to start today, it's not even going to start until Lord knows when. And I really would like for baseball to get its head out of its donkey's behind, please. Like, I think I speak for the millions of baseball fans across the country that is also dwindling and losing hope in the sport, that we figure this out, because this lockout is not helping the sport at all. It is damaging the sport. And I'm of the millions of baseball fans that are feeling like, really? Owners, players, get a deal done. You are supposed to, in fact, be starting spring training today. Pitchers and catchers were supposed to start, I think, report today or tomorrow. But basically, baseball season is here now, and you still have not figured it out yet. You've had 2 years to figure this out. And this is the state of the sport. This is part of the reason why I feel the way that I do about baseball, that I'm really beginning to lose a lot of my lackluster and a lot of my luster and love for it, because this shouldn't be dragging into February of 2022. We had time to figure this out during the pandemic 2 years ago. So now, with about 60 seconds remaining left in this program, I just want to wrap it up and say thank you all for who have listened into this program. And I appreciate all of you. If you are going out tonight, bundle up, because it is going to be cold. It is going to be freezing out there. Enjoy the night. Stay safe in all that you do. I will be looking forward to talking to you maybe later in the week on a fill-in basis. We shall see. Either way, signing off for now on this Valentine's Day night. Good night, everybody. This is Shukri Wright. You have been listening to The Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I'll talk to you again later. Peace.